The question we're going to begin with this morning, and the one I hope you will continue to consider beyond this morning, is what does peace look like? Having marked the centenary of the armistice last year, and we're marked the 75th anniversary of the Normandy landings this year, what impact do these reminders of dates have for us now? Do they continue to speak a call to us of peacefulness, or are we more aware of the rising conflict across the globe? So having posed some questions, let me offer you some poetry. Oh, I have slipped the surly bonds of earth and danced the skies on laughter-silvered wings. Sunward I have climbed and joined the tumbling mirth of sun-split clouds and done 100 things you've not dreamed of. Wheeled and soared and swung high in the sunlight silence. Hovering there, I've chased the shouting wind along and flung my eager craft through footless halls of air. Up, up, the long, delirious, burning blue, I've topped the windswept heights with easy grace, where never lark nor eagle flew. And while with silent, lifting mind I've trod the high, untrespassed sanctity of space, put out my hand and touched the face of God. The words are written by John Gillespie McGee, an Anglo-American aviator and poet. And they capture the possibility of hope and freedom that he felt in flight. And yet he was not to see as he died in a mid-air collision over Lincolnshire in 1941. Words that carry the prophetic hope that we also experience when we listen to the words of Micah this morning. The history of the prophet of Micah is characterized by the threat and reality of war. The passage we heard this morning speaks of the vision of the world that's longed for beyond the unrest that the people of Israel are experiencing. In the midst of doom and gloom, Micah has revealed in the past 3 chapters, he offers this contrast, intending to remind his people of the true purpose for which they've been called. In a time of hopelessness, he holds out to them hope, affirming with an unshaken faith that beyond the violent realities of the time, a better world was possible. As part of the invitation to the Carnegie Medals of Philanthropy, there was an opportunity to spend one of the days listening to conversations around peace building. These included contributions from Hillary Clinton, David Miliband in his role as President and CEO of the International Rescue Committee, Oscar Fernandez Taranto, Assistant Secretary General for Peacebuilding Support with the United Nations, and Michelle Nunn, President and CEO of CARE USA, which is a humanitarian organization that fights global poverty and provides life-saving assistance in emergencies. The conversations around peace were made all the more poignant as they were taking place within 24 hours of the USA withdrawal from northern Syria. Both of these conversations can be found online. Hillary Clinton was impressive for her ability to flow easily between the questions, offering facts, figures, and details, but also offering significant personal reflection on the importance of good leadership within public service. Within what she said came the first championing of women's and young people's rights being significant in building optimism and hope for the future. David Miliband reminded those listening of the grasp and understanding he has of national and international politics and caught the audience's attention with the thought that impunity is becoming a normal part of our worldly existence. In case others like me want to get out a wee dictionary just to check that you're absolutely sure what impunity means, it's to go unpunished for doing something bad. For me, Michelle Nunn was the voice that was trying to take the audience towards how peace in our world might be achieved. She spoke of governments being in retreat and the need for innovation, partnership and audacity within civil society. Both she and Oscar Fernandez Taranto spoke of the importance of the role of women and young people in bringing about peace. Nunn commentated that there was a 35% increase in the longevity of peace when women were involved, and in doing so clearly stated that gender equality across the globe was a huge opportunity to engage in a new way of thinking about peace. Other strategies for peace included health and nutrition. I try not to focus on gender politics in preaching, or in theology or roles. But in recent weeks, I've also been reading Silence of the Girls by Pat Barker, which is a modern interpretation of the Greek epic poem The Iliad, written by Homer, recounting the events of the final weeks of the Trojan War and the Greek siege of the city of Troy. Barker's book tells the story from the women's perspective. What she makes noticeable is how inconsequential the women are. They're bargaining chips, those who provide comfort emotionally, physically, and nutritionally. But their views and thoughts are never sought in the conversations of war and peace. But to move this away from gender bias, what all of these bits of information lead to is a remembering and a new realization that in the building of peace, it's important that all voices are heard. For me, the question and answer that were missing across the peace-building conversations in New York is, what does peace look like? What is the vision of peace that all our conversations want to bring about? In the turmoil of the last few hours before his arrest, Jesus sets out his vision of what the world would look for the disciples after he's gone. His parting conversation lasts from chapter 13 to the end of chapter 17 in John's Gospel. And this morning, we heard Jesus calling his disciples to a vision of love that allows them to grow from the roots of faith that they have settled into the eternal. It's a vision of sacrificial love, recognizing that at times they may be called upon to give more of themselves than they thought possible. It's a vision of generous love, loving beyond the faults, the anger, and the hurt, and recognizing the potential of God in the other. It's a vision that creates a world where all are recognized and valued because they belong to God. Each Remembrance Sunday, each Remembrance Day, and whenever and wherever we see trouble brewing in our world and communities, we have a responsibility as people of faith to speak and live the visions of faith that we have been given in the life of Christ. These visions may well be the missing piece in the jigsaw of peace building. But it's when we allow others to see the world we believe God invites us towards, that the conversations and structures needed to build towards the vision find a meaningful purpose.